Back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, it's time to talk some basketball. To do that, we turn to Mr. John Corrales of course, Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. How you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And we're getting ready to see what happens with the C's and the Lakers here. And I was surprised. I mean, it made sense. I knew everything was kind of jumbled in the East. And then read your piece today that the Celtics could move up as high as fourth with a win.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to think about when we just gauge our own feelings about where the Celtics are. And every interview that I do is about, so what's wrong with this and how do they fix that and everything? And here they are. If they beat the Lakers, they'll be 14-11. Miami and Washington are also 14-11. So the Celtics would be in that mix. They're both tied for fourth. Now, Washington's beaten the Celtics, so they have a tiebreaker. Celtics have beat Miami, so they have a tiebreaker. So technically speaking, they'd be the fifth seed. Coming into the season, everybody said, or a lot of people said, if the Celtics are in that four, we would expect them to be in that 4-5-6 mix by the end of the season. So oddly, weirdly, after everything that they've been through, they're right kind of where we thought they would be, which is encouraging to them. I asked them about it, and they said, look, we still haven't found ourselves yet. We're still working on making our offense better and more consistent. So this does bode well for them that they're in the mix. And I think when you look at the whole picture and you see how many teams are 14-11, 13-11, 13-12, 11-12, in that jumbled mess, it tells you that this season there's a lot of parity. So maybe the Celtics at 13-11 right now, not as bad as it might feel.
And as you said, there are some things they could still work on. Overall, things are going okay. Let's start with the offense. Is one of the big problems just too much reliance on Jason Tatum?
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't want to go too crazy with one guy being the catalyst for so much, but that's kind of where they are right now. If Tatum shoots well, the Celtics are going to be all right. They're going to score points. They rely on Tatum now for a whole lot of playmaking, and so it's one of those things, like, if Tatum goes down, there's a real uh-oh kind of feeling that will kind of hang over the franchise. They're able to withstand right now the absence of Jaylen Brown, who will be out again tonight. But they're getting enough from some of these other guys to kind of float along because their defense is so good. But relying this much on one guy, I think ultimately, long-term, big picture, they would like it to be a little bit more spread out. Now, if Jalen's healthy and you get a third guy who can handle some of the scoring load, that makes it a little bit easier. And they've had that when they had Kemba and even Kyrie. So it's not ideal, kind of what they have right now. And honestly, if Tatum can get up to the level of playmaking that Ime wants him to, there's just no choice. When you want to be a great team and you have an MVP candidate, you're just – every team with an MVP candidate is going to rely on him. Look at Denver and their Nikola Jokic on-off numbers to see exactly what I'm talking about.
On the defensive side of things, we know the ability is there, and that's certainly been a strong suit of the team, and the occasional lapses from, I guess, maybe a combination of effort and sometimes concentration.
Yeah, I think there are always going to be bad habits, right? There's always going to be something like Robert Williams. Ime brought it up, slapping down at the ball and not doing his work early in a post-up situation, and all of a sudden Jusuf Nurkić has him buried under the basket in the restricted area, and he's scoring all sorts of points. Sometimes guys just fall into that trap. You have a bad day, you're feeling a little lazy, you're feeling a little tired, whatever it is, that some of that's going to happen. But defensively, I think ultimately they've gotten a lot better. They figured out a lot. I think at the beginning of the season, I think Ime can kind of hang his hat on the success of his plan from early in the season, even though it cost the Celtics some early games. Getting that switchability and hammering that point home made it more of an option than it would have been if he had just gradually put it in and said, okay, we're only going to switch for the first quarter, then we're going to work on some other things. By putting everything in and just forcing the guys to learn it and crash course it, then the other stuff that they're more comfortable with, the traditional stuff, has become a little bit more second nature to them, and now they have more options defensively. So, yes, they fall into some bad habits for sure. Yes, there are going to be problems, and some of that you've just got to hand to the other team. You tip your cap to the other team. We do fall into the trap of always looking at it from the Celtics' perspective. You do have to say, hey, look, Portland or Utah or whomever, they're going to make a run. You give them a little bit of an opening, and they're going to take it, and they're going to capitalize it, because no matter who you are, even Oklahoma City Thunder are full of NBA-level basketball players that can get hot if you give them the chance. So the Celtics do have to be careful about letting those opportunities like catch fire. But overall, they feel like they can comfortably hang their hat on their defense.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, speaking of looking at it from something other than a Celtics perspective, they've got their weaknesses. Is there anybody in the East that doesn't have a few problems?
No, you know what? You can't look at any team. I think every team has some issues. I mean, you start at the top of the, and even they are 6-7. They're not running away with anything. They only have they're in a virtual tie with the Chicago Bulls. And obviously, they have the Kyrie situation. They have their own defensive issues. Chicago's an interesting team. I want to see how they do without DeMar DeRozan, who went into the health and safety protocols. And, you know, I want to see them kind of kick it up. Milwaukee, I think when they're whole, might be the closest to kind of problem-free, but they're not whole. And so they become vulnerable. You go right down the list, every team has either some sort of glaring issue or at least one big thing, or injuries like Miami with Bam Adebayo having surgery on his thumb. Everybody's got something. So the parity is there in the East. The parity is there across the NBA. Most teams, I think, minus Golden State and Phoenix, are still kind of in close enough to the pack where a lot of teams feel like they have a chance.
Well, and you hope that maybe the Celtics got some of these things out of their system early with injuries and COVID issues.
I mean, you would hope so, right? Like, a couple of guys, you got Jalen and Al with COVID, and hopefully those issues are behind them. And once Jalen Brown gets healthy, they are being cautious with him, and they might have gotten a little they won't say they brought him back too fast, but they might have a little bit, and some of that's on Jalen. They're now being cautious again. They want to make sure he's back at 100%. Ime says, we don't want to bring him back at 85 or 90. We're bringing him back at 100%. So once they get full and whole, then maybe they can capitalize on a little bit of a healthy run. The Celtics, with a month of decent health, aside from little nicks and bumps and bruises, maybe they take advantage of that and make a run, pad their win totals, and this way, at the end, if it happens again, they can withstand that a little bit.
All right, so obviously, number one on my basketball radar going into the afternoon was Celtics-Lakers. And then I saw you tweet about Bill Russell memorabilia. Tell me more.
Yeah. Bill Russell is auctioning off a ton of stuff. Like, I have the booklet here from the auction. It's about 500 items that are going up. Now, some of the items are pretty expensive, right? Like, the last jersey that he ever wore, the one in Game 7, 1969 NBA Finals when the Celtics beat the Lakers, that's going up for auction. That's probably going to fetch hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more.
Right. You and I should go in on that together to cut down the individual cost. Yeah,
we can. It could be like the Simpsons episode where Bart and Milhouse fight over the radioactive man thing. And the ending is they get struck by lightning, so probably don't want that. But look, there are some cheaper things, and nothing's cheap per se, but for the everyday fan that's looking to maybe splurge, there are a lot of little things that are a couple hundred dollars, $300, $400, which, again, not everybody can spare a couple hundred dollars, but if you can and you want to get in on some Bill Russell memorabilia, there are a ton of little knickknacks that he has, various awards from different organizations that, you know, every organization wants to give Bill Russell an award, right? So I'm looking at one, the Bill Russell Visionary Leadership Award from some organization. It's nice, it's inscribed, and it's estimated to go for $300 to $500. Wow. So you could get it. You can get it as a gift. Say, hey, this is something that Bill Russell owns, that was given to Bill Russell. Now you own it. So there's something for the everyday fan as well as the multiple $100,000 collector investor type of fan. And that's going on this Friday at the Garden.
That is absolutely awesome. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal. John, appreciate it. As always, enjoy the game tonight. We'll visit with you next week.
All right. Talk to you then.